Hallelujah. Glory. I think God has something to say today. I didn't say guy, I said God. Guy ain't got nothing to say. Oh, glory. Wow. Oh, lift your hands to heaven and get another drink, please. You're going to need it. Hallelujah. I have a scripture that you might not have heard of before. It's called Hosea 4:6. Would you go to it for a minute? Oh, I love worshiping Daddy. Hosea 4:6. Whew. Is everybody there? We're going to get there. Would you read it with me, please? This is overflow from Friday night. Hosea 4:6. You know, it really grieves my spirit when people miss God's presence. They don't know what they're missing. They have no idea that all fullness is in His presence. Boy, they sure make sure that they make sure that they make it to work on time because there's a reward of cash. Hello. They make sure they do things for fulfillment, of soulish fulfillment. And then it's gone. We spend time with our children. We spend time with our families. Then it's gone. But there's one thing that's always there. His presence. His presence is always waiting for me and you. Every single day. No matter what you're doing and no matter where you are. Waiting for you. Man, I remember sometimes just to get into God's presence. And all of a sudden He says, I've been waiting for you. I've been waiting for you to acknowledge me today. I've been waiting for you. I've been waiting for you to exchange some of the things that bring you temporary fulfillment for my fulfillment. Does everybody understand this? See, people are wondering why so many things are going on. And people are moved by circumstances or they don't know what to do with circumstances. Because see, everything you need and every answer is in the presence of the King of Glory. Everything. See, in the Old Testament, God's presence would come upon the prophets and He would speak to them. In the New Covenant, it is the ministry of the Spirit, and those who are baptized in the Spirit is already in them, and now God is saying, come on, come on, come into my presence. I have every answer you need. Your answer is not in the yellow pages. It's not on the internet. It's in His presence. He says, if you seek me with all of your heart, you will find me. See, the deception, the worldly deception, tries to keep us dull, not sensitive enough, and not aware enough of God's presence. Then what we begin to do is assume God's will. And when we begin to assume God's will, we fall in the sin of assumption. Because that is sin. Why? Because the presence of evil is always trying to promote assumption. That's what he loves to do. Because if he can get you to assume, he can get you to the next level of deception. Jesus said, I never do anything unless I see my Father do it first. Why? Because faith is spiritual sight. It's no such thing as blind faith. Well, I think I'll step out in faith. Well, did God tell you to? Well, I think so. Then you're back in assumption. This is where his requirement, his relationship. There's too much religion. There's too much compromise. There's too much complacency. And there's too much assumption, which is causing division. It's causing the will of the flesh to be overtaken in the area where it's overtaking God's will. You and I have a responsibility to cooperate with God. We may see, well, God's will be done. And there's a truth to that. God's will be done. But are we, you know, when we pray, we're to obey. We're not to pray and disobey. There's a lot of people that just pray and throw out words to God and then go out and do whatever they want to do. They don't even listen to what he's got to say. They won't take the time to hear, absorb, comprehend, understand, and put it into action. That's faith. We are in a time right now that it's the presence of God that is going to keep you. You know, there are people who study the Word, memorize the page numbers, and still are lost. Even Satan knows the Word of God. In fact, he knows everything. He knows everything that's going to happen. He knows every event. He knows when his time is up, and he's doing everything to prolong it and prevent it. The angels of the fallen angels of Satan's kingdom, they know everything. They know how to read the stars. They know everything about what's going on. They know all the events. Everything. And we're to know. We're to know what's to come. We need to come out of the arena of compromise and complacency. We need to come out of the arena of false fulfillment of worldly things and come into the arena that only his presence fulfills us. That is it. Because everything else will be taken away. When you look back at the apostles, Jesus appeared to them, walked with them, and said, "Hey, follow me." He didn't say, "Believe me." He said, "Follow me." They didn't understand why. They didn't ask questions. They didn't ask, "Well, what are we going to do? How are we going to support our families? Well, what about my children? Well, what about this? What about..." You know what they did? They dropped everything and they followed him. There was something about his presence that they didn't understand, but there was something that was affecting them that they wanted. You know what they sensed? Home. They sensed home. They didn't know that it was home, but they just sensed something that was, this man carried. There was something there. There was something about his words that were so true and penetrating. There was something about his presence. There was something about his look that was so penetrating and so overwhelming that they didn't care about anything else but to please him. And they didn't even know why they wanted to please him. They didn't know he was their creator. They didn't get it. They might have thought he was a good fisherman. You know, they didn't think about anything else. What they knew is that if they followed him, everything would be fulfilled. And they couldn't even comprehend that, but they knew it. It was a knowing that surpassed carnal understanding. Surpassed it. And this is where you and I must constantly break through the carnal understanding to step in the arena in the realm that he loves me. He holds me. He bought me. I have a lifetime warranty. And he wants to get everything to me. The thing is that if I cooperate, it's going to follow my path. But when I start stepping out of the pathway, I start missing it. See, the enemy's got a wonderful tactic. That's why he's called subtle. He's called sly. To easily sway people. We come together here for training. This is not a Bible study. This is training. Amen? Because one of the things the Lord wants to do is expose the enemy's tactics and strategies so that you and I are constantly overcoming. But we're going to grab this, and then we're going to leave, and then many people are going to go right back to where they continue to do in their old routine. And many will say, "You know what? I got to do this." You know, one of the things when the Lord, before he came and visited me, is one of the things he asked me is, "Show me. Show me you're willing to do whatever it takes." And it comes before me every day. Show me. Are you still willing to do whatever it takes this morning? Are you still willing to do whatever it takes this afternoon? Are you still willing to do whatever it takes this evening? Are you still willing to do whatever it takes? And the purpose that he brings that to us is because he's got a formula for success. Deny yourself. Pick up the cross and follow me. That denying of self carries a three-letter word that's very difficult. It's called die. Die to yourself. That is a choice. It isn't a feeling. Has everybody got it? It's not a feeling. It's a choice. How many people make choices by how they feel? Well, you know, I just don't really feel like it. And then they convince themselves, but that's just the voice of the stranger, because that stranger is constantly with them all the time. And he knows that he can convince that person anytime he wants. And he has that person look good once in a while and then an idiot the next day. It's where you and I must constantly press through, constantly press in, constantly deny ourselves, constantly be grateful. I am grateful for my wife, my children, and our staff and flock. I am grateful for what God puts across. I am grateful for those who pray for us and serve. I'm grateful, but that's not my fulfillment. They're not my fulfillment. Only His presence is my fulfillment. I watch the hand of God heal people. I watch the hand of God change people from destitute, forgotten, rejected, forsaken, to become a voice of the King of Glory, to become a carrier of His presence and His anointing. And it is great. I love it. But it's not my fulfilling. My fulfillment is in His presence. I love revelation. But again, my fulfillment is in His presence. But in His presence, revelation is released. In His presence, there's no space or time. He can tell you what was, what is, and what's going to happen. It's a place where you lose everything bound by space or time. Moses, Enoch, Elijah, powerful men and women of God. That experience is for everyone. Everyone willing to do whatever it takes and deny themselves. There's something called fear. Satan's greatest weapon is deception, and his power is fear. He nails them with fear, 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 the spirit of fear. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Fear. Fear says, I don't feel like this. See, fear loves to nail you in your feelings because fear is an emotion. Fear is an emotion. You know, how many times did God tell you to speak to someone? Until it becomes a part of your life. Fear. It ceases and prevents you from cooperating with God. And He knows that if He can prevent you from cooperating with the Lord, that you will not be completely free, that there will be a bondage, an open door in your life where the devil has got access to you to sway you whenever God's trying to bless you. Hosea 4:6, would you read it with me? My people are what? Destroyed. Everyone say destroyed. Destroyed. For lack of knowledge. That lack of knowledge is an area where knowledge, now if knowledge is not understood, it's not truth. So it's knowledge that must be understood. But also knowledge here is correction. How many know knowledge brings correction? Amen? Because truth brings correction, doesn't it? So he says, my people are destroyed for lack of truth, lack of correction. Because you've rejected my knowledge or correction, I'll reject you as a priest for me. That's someone who's close. And because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will forget your children. We see this comes down the family line. That is a warning from God. In Psalm 1, in Psalm chapter 1, starting at verse 1. Psalm 1, verse 1, would you read it with me? Read the first verse. What? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the rebellious. Are you with me? See, the ungodly are rebellious. So as blessed is the man who doesn't take the counsel of the rebellious, nor stands in the path of sinners or liars. In other words, he doesn't walk with liars. Or sits in the seat of the scornful. In other words, those who are hatred. They're perverse. They're double-minded. It says, but his law, his delight is in the law of the Lord. In other words, his delight is in truth. I love truth. Because you know why I love truth? Because truth is in his presence, because I love his presence. Listen, I love the word of God, but my Father speaks more than what's written in here. His presence speaks 1,000 books in a moment. But his delight is in the law or of the truth of the Lord, and in this truth he meditates day and night. In other words, he's always taking what is true to compare it to what's going on in his life. He's taking what's truth and comparing it. See, but without getting in God's presence enough, you will lose truth because truth gets stolen from you. Truth begins to get watered down. That's why people always come into an arena to say what they're going to do, because truth has grabbed hold of them. But then the word begins to diminish. Truth begins to diminish, and then they don't fulfill what they said they were going to do. And this is what happens for those who will meditate, who will take what is truth and compare it to everything. It says that they shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever they do, they will prosper. Now, everybody looks at the area of money as prosper. Listen, I would rather be rich in Christ than rich in cash. See, when I had nothing and I had Jesus, I was rich. I am a very wealthy man. Wealthy. I'm a gazillionaire. Verse 4. But the rebellious are not so. They're like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the rebellious or the ungodly shall not stand in the rewards. That's called judgment. Nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the rebellious shall perish. That is a warning of correction. Psalm 19. Why? Because my people are destroyed for lack of truth or correction. Psalm 19. Is everybody okay? In verse 7. It says, the law of the Lord or the truth of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Verse 9, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More, and more to be desired are they than gold. Yes, the much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and honeycomb. Do you ever notice that every commercial on TV is gold? Yeah, they talk about how bad the government is, but then they want to sell you gold when it ain't worth a poop either. Verse 11. Moreover, by them your servant is what? Warned. Your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is what? Great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from my secret faults of assumption. Keep back your servant also from what? Presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, in your sight, in your presence. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let me tell you, take heed to correction or warning because there is great reward. Psalm 15. Now, why does God correct us? Everyone say, correction is for protection. Now, if we begin to look at correction as for protection instead of rejection, we're going to have fun. Does everybody get it? We're going to have fun. See, the whole thing is one of the things the enemy loves to do is breach the love of God between you and him. And it's not between him and you, it's between you and him. Because his love is unconditional. But what he wants to do is breach that love. And the first thing he wants to tell you is, you've been rejected because you've been corrected. No, you've been corrected to get your butt in protection. Amen? Psalm 15. Let's say it. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle and who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up reproach against his friend, and whose eyes a vile person is despised. In other words, you don't approve of somebody that's rebellious. And you don't soulish comfort them. Oh, Gucci goo. What do? You correct them. And whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. In other words, I would rather be hurt than change. I would rather be trampled on than change. I would rather be rejected by men than changed. I would rather be talked about than change. And let me tell you, when you are a person that is willing to stand for what is truth, you will be talked about. Verse 5. He who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall what? Never be moved. Moved what? Moved out of position. Because when you get moved out of position, you know what happens? You get corrected. Why? To get back in protection. You know, we got to be sensitive to these areas. You know, the Bible says you'll know them by their fruit. There's a lot of granola people out there. They're nutty and they're fruity. They think they're so spiritual, but they really don't know nothing because they live by how they feel. You know, I'll tell you what, one of the things that the Lord shared with me and after my visitation and so forth, and he kept telling me, keep yourself clean. Keep yourself clean. Keep yourself clean. Keep yourself clean. And when I would go visit a church somewhere, when the pastor would say, okay, everybody over there, lay your hands on that person, I'd say, ain't touching me, homie. I don't care where that direction came from. I don't know you. You don't touch me. I don't know where you've come from. Does everybody understand? Keep yourself clean, unspotted. You get a lot of, whoa, whoa, I got a word for you. I got a word for you. Get behind me, granola. Hallelujah. Let's go a little further. So one of the things that if we don't want to be moved, we will submit to the things that God warns us or corrects us on and maintain them. In Psalm 119. Hallelujah. You know, you get a lot of people that want to call themselves prophets and evangelists and all kinds of stuff. They promote their position, yet they can't even get on their face and worship the Lord. But they got a word for you. Wolves in sheep's clothing. And they may not even know it. Psalm 119. Is everybody there? Glory to God. Let's go to verse something. Okay, you're there? Let's go to 65. Praise God. Let's read it together. You have dealt with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. In other words, what happened to him? He got corrected. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I what? In other words, before I was corrected, I was out of order. But now I keep your word. He wasn't grumbling or complaining after his correction, was he? He wasn't getting on the phone and saying, man, you don't know who rebuked me today. You wouldn't believe what happened. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. Now I keep your word. Thank you for the correction, Lord. Now let's see how long I can hold on to it. You are good and do good. Man, he was great. He was thanking him for it. Teach me your statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. In other words, he was willing to receive the correction because he understood that correction is protection. Job 5. Okay, so if correction is protection, it's not what? Rejection. Job chapter 5. Oh, glory. You know, God has a way of interrupting what you thought you're doing good at. Everything's going great. This, and all of a sudden there's an interruption. I thought everything was good. No. No. You've been swayed on your own path. Yeah, it may seem good. But what's good in your eyes isn't good in my eyes, says the Lord. Now you're leaning on your own understanding again. You've lost sight. You've lost coming to me. You've lost acknowledging me in all of your ways. You've lost, you're losing it. You're becoming too compromising. You're becoming too complacent and too lazy. You're running, 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 and you're so busy, you're forgetting me. Come back. Come back. In Job chapter 5 and verse 17, would you read it with me? Behold, happy, woohoo, is the man whom what? God corrects. Yes, so we're to be happy. Why? Because correction is protection. Therefore, do not despise the chastening of the Almighty. Happy is the man who's corrected. You know, people get offended and run when they're corrected because the only thing they know is rejection. And I'm telling you, if we start removing that word rejection and put it in place of protection, you'll be happy. 1 Corinthians 11. See, this is where a person thinks they're walking in the spirit when they're really walking in the soul. And when they get corrected to get back in the spirit, they react according to the soulish arena, not according to the Spirit of God. That's why they don't respond, they react. See, when you let me tell you, so many times we'll be walking in the spirit, next thing we just slip out of the spirit and start walking in the soul. I feel good. Yeah, now I'm leaning on my feelings. Whoa, yeah. All of a sudden, whoosh, interruption. Whoa, what? What happened? Man, took off the devil? No, that was the Lord. Get back in the spirit. You're about to be taken out. You're walking in a trap. You're walking away from my protection or my covering. Get back in here. Now, you can either stay in the soulless realm and blame it on the devil or everyone around you, or you can repent and get back in the spirit. See, repenting without getting back in line is not repentance. Has everybody got it? Oh, you can repent all you want, but if you don't get back in what he started, look at, what did you repent from? Then get back into, hello? Oh, Lord, I repent for not continuing to do what I was supposed to do. Okay. Get back and do it then. Finish it. Other than that, that's not repentance. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 11. Is everybody there?
Good.
And verse 31. Is everybody there? Are you there? You sure you're there? Well, then let's speak it. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not need to be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord that we may not be condemned with the world. Why? Because correction brings protection. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. And of course, he was talking about the area of the food because some people are utilizing things as a stumbling block. I'm not going to get into all that. So if we would judge ourselves, we wouldn't need to be judged or corrected. Amen? And that's, doesn't he say that? Correct, judge yourself every day. Lord, expose me. Show me where I'm out of line. See, I want to go to a deeper arena here then. This is where, if you really have a relationship with the Lord, really have a relationship, not an assumption, really have a relationship, you are willing to allow him to correct you. In fact, you ask for it. You don't wait to be corrected. You ask for it. Lord, correct me. Expose me. Remove those things from me that cause offense to you and me to stumble. And he will begin to show you. Don't wait to be corrected. See, the reason why you are corrected is because you're not asking to be corrected. Does everybody got it? If you were judging yourself and asking to be corrected, he would be correcting you. How many of you know God uses man to correct you? How about circumstances? Yeah, events. Praise God. Hebrews 12. Correction is what? Protection, not rejection. Oh, hallelujah. Hebrews 12 and verse 7. Hebrews 12, verse 7. Would you read it with me, please? Is everybody okay? You getting this? And this is where we've got to come to the point where you're willing to do whatever it takes. I've seen cell phones become stumbling blocks to people. I think one of the worst things that you could be doing is texting or on a cell phone while people are worshiping God. That is the most offensive thing. Oh, I got a call from someone. You need to answer the phone from the Lord. I think that's the most offensive thing someone can do. Or pick up a Bible and start reading while you're worshiping the Lord. Put the Bible down. Go to him. Oh, the Lord's giving me a message. Yeah, and he's saying, put the Bible down and get in his presence and humble yourself. Hallelujah. You granola, you. Hebrews 12, 7. If what? You endure chastening. Hello, in other words, you don't run, you don't get offended, and you don't open your mouth. You accept it as protection, not as rejection. God deals with you as a son and daughter, for what son or daughter is there whom a father does not chasten or correct? But if you are without correction or chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not children of God or sons and daughters. I can guarantee you we are corrected. We are chastened. Amen? Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? Now, endure, that means without grumbling, without excusing, without justifying, without complaining, without compromising. You accept the correction. You don't call someone and say, hey, man, you wouldn't believe what the pastor said to me or what my such and such said to me or whatever. That's immaturity. And it means you got a spirit still, spirit of pride, spirit of arrogance, and a spirit of rebellion that's still ruling you until you sever that and get rid of it. Again, we are to endure without all of that foolishness. Why? Because it's training for what? Reigning. Training for reigning and correction for protection. Revelation 3. Don't you feel like a real idiot after you've been corrected and you found out that you were actually really wrong? Oh, God, I was really wrong about that. What the heck? Why was I grumbling and complaining? Why did I Facebook it? Why did I Facebook and try and justify to everyone else how I felt? Because I'm so soulish. Why did I call everyone and the neighbors to let them know? Why didn't I just take it to the Lord and say, Lord, you know, let me exchange this feeling for your presence. Hallelujah. Let's stop this ripple effect right there. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. And the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold or hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked, and you smell like vomit, I will cause you, I counsel you, I correct you to buy from me gold refined in fire. That is his purity, what he has, his character. Why? Make the exchange. That you may be rich in Christ and the wisdom and knowledge that he has, and white garments that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your stupidity, nakedness, may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see clearly. For as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. I correct that you may be protected. Therefore, be what? Zealous. And what? Repent. In other words, get back to what you're supposed to do. People who are lukewarm. One of the things the enemy wants to do is get you in a place of lukewarmness. You don't even know you're there. See, lukewarm is soulish. And in this soulish arena where you become lukewarm, you become complacent, compromised, lazy, and unstable. In Galatians 3, protection is established by correction. It's not established by rejection. Galatians chapter 3, in verse 22. Everybody there? Let's read it. But the scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Christ, in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believe or what? Follow. Remember, the word believe means to what? Follow. But before faith came, we were kept under what? Guard or what? Protection. By the law or by the truth. Kept for faith, which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor, for you are all what? Sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Has everybody got that? So the law, the truth, was our tutor. It was one that was guiding us till we came under Christ. Why? Because now we are in the ministry of the Spirit. So go to John 16. John 16. Correction is what? Protection. Not what? Rejection. Get out of the soul. John 16, verse 5. Verse 7. Nevertheless, Jesus tells him, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. Now, for them, it was probably difficult. What do you mean? How can it be to our advantage that you leave us, the presence that we love, the words that we love, the person that we love? How can it be to our advantage that you leave us? For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. So it will no longer be an outward, it will be an inward. And when he has come, he will what? Convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judge. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them. Now why? Because they couldn't understand them. Because they were not baptized in the Spirit, so they couldn't understand the things of the Spirit. They could only understand so much. That's why Jesus spoke to them in parables. He was always bringing something from the spirit realm and giving them a picture in the physical realm so they could have some understanding. But he wanted to now live in them because he said, look, when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you will have power from the Most High. Amen? Verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of what? Truth. Has come, he will what? He will guide you, or he will what? Protect you if you are hearing what he says. He will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to what? Oh, come on, things to come. Do you understand why it's so important to stay in God's presence? Stay in God's presence because it makes you more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. The less you are in God's presence, look, and you can have all the religion you want. You can pray and not obey. You can know the word and still disobey. You can repent and not get back in what you were supposed to do because you lack the presence of God. Without the presence of God, that's what keeps you in the spirit. Other than that, you slide into the soul and you become soulish, and now you're led by how you feel and not by what truth is. And that's got to stop. That's how we overcome. The Bible didn't say you overcome in how you feel. It says you overcome by the word of the testimony, the blood of Christ, and you don't love your life to death. Amen? He said, look, I'm going to guide you into all truth. I'll tell you things to come, and he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. That means you won't lack nothing. Amen? Look, Noah was divinely warned, wasn't he? Did he obey? Yeah, man. He obeyed. In fact, he built an ark, and everybody thought he was an idiot. But they realized that when the door was shut to the ark and they had no life preservers, they were in trouble. Praise God. Go to Ezekiel 33. Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel 33. Verse 1, let's read it together. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people and say to them, when I bring the sword upon a land and the people of the land take a man from their territory and make them their watchman, make him their watchman. When he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself. But he who takes warning will save his life. Are you taking warning today? But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes away any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hands. I'm telling you, you're called to be watchmen, not accusers, watchmen. We're to be led by the Spirit to correct, not by the soul. So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. Where is he going to hear this word? In his presence. I get a lot of self-proclaiming watchmen that don't even get in God's presence and are going to try and tell you what to do. Don't work that way. Is everybody okay? But there's something important now. Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7. And I've one day something was going on and the Holy Spirit said to me, I want you to warn this person. So I went in love and I shared. I said, look, at you know, I know you want to grow with the Lord and there's something that, you know, this would might help your growth with the Lord. And if you'll take heed and remove this from your life, you'll find that you'll be able to, oh, you're judging me. Darn right I am. I'm judging your fruit and they stink. Take it or leave it. See ya. Does everybody understand that? I'm not judging a person. I'm judging their fruit. I'm telling you, we need to get bold in this arena. Stop worrying about hurting someone's feelings when you can save their life. It's like trying to tell an addict, it's going to work out. Here's 20 bucks. Okay. Yeah, go buy yourself some food. Yeah, right. He's going to buy himself food, all right. Matthew 7, verse 1. Judge not that you be not judged. For what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Right? And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye and look at the National Grand Forest in your own? In other words, how can you tell someone, correct them when you can't receive correction? Or you're practicing the same thing. He was, he say, hypocrite, bonehead. First remove the National Grand Forest from your own eye, then you can remove the tree trunk from your brother's eye. Amen? So that's where we must what? Judge ourselves again. Judge ourselves. Because correction is what? Protection. I'm going to close at 2 Timothy 2. Let me tell you something. Make sure that your house is in order when you before you start doing any of this. Yes, we're called watchmen. Much is given, much is required. It doesn't mean you go around and look, I'm a watchman. You! Drop that cigarette! You! Drop that bottle! You! No, that's not a watchman. That's an idiot. Watchman is led by the Spirit. His motive is love. His motive is the concern for a soul, that they don't fall, that they don't get strayed or taken away. That's what a watchman is. He warns. Amen? You know why the watchman, God has to use watchmen? Because they're rejecting the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And for that, why? Because they're living out of their soul, not out of the Spirit, and because they lack the presence of God. Listen, you can come into a praise and worship service or anointing service and never even get touched because you haven't set your heart to be touched. You've made it a tradition, not a relationship. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. Would you read it with me? Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a what? Pure heart. Listen. Associations bring impartations. Bad company corrupts good habits. Hello. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate what? Strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, humbleness and love, correcting those who are what? Opposition or rebellious. If God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will instead of the will of the Lord. Amen? So I want you to know that you can sense a lot more correction coming by the Spirit of God. Why? Because there's a lot more impression of darkness. Darkness is impressing all over. Wickedness is at every corner. He says, don't touch things unclean. Come out from among them and be separate. Amen? so that he can be a father to us. A father to us is one in the area where there's relationship, not religion, relationship. So I can tell you, can expect more correction for protection because he loves us, not because he's rejecting us, because of the things that are going on in this world. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. I pray today, Father, that this word, this seed that you have released from your throne room into each and every one of us would be protected by the blood of the Lamb, that would grow and bear fruit for your glory, that you would protect it from the enemy, from stealing, and that the Holy Spirit would quicken us and bring to remembrance that correction is protection, not rejection. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.